And it is time for the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, here on a Thursday. And Brian, well, we know where KU's going to go for their football bowl game. We'll touch upon that here at the end of our chat. But let's jump into the basketball, where KU, with the big win over UConn last Friday, definitely the trap game in between Missouri and UConn against the Ruse of Kansas City, and they eventually take care of business there. And it does seem to be that, you know, McCullers is carrying this team along with Dickinson. Adams has played great and so forth and so on. And Harris is always solid. But the ultimate question still, we haven't found any more answers to our questions with you last week, and that is about the bench. But let's start out with the positives, and that is that KU was able to knock off UConn in what was a tremendous atmosphere last Friday.
Oh, man, it was amazing last Friday. Loved seeing the way our team responded, and as we talked about in previewing it, that was going to be Hunter Dickinson's first taste of the fog turned up to a 10 and the elite atmosphere that it can be. And it seemed like Kansas jumped on him early. Hunter hit a couple of big threes. He was shouting to the rooftops and just relishing the moment. And yet we felt like we should have been up by way more than just 7 at the half, because they really had dominated in stretches. And the only offense UConn was getting for a while there were some late shot clock desperation heaves that went down. And so when you're only up 38-31 at the break, you're thinking, man, this doesn't feel too comfortable. And sure enough, UConn ends up stealing the lead back. And it was obviously a game that required an 11-0 Kansas run to seize control back for the Jayhawks. And that 11-0 run was preceded by none other than Jason Sudeikis, a.k.a. Ted Lasso, jumping on the drum set in the Kansas student band section and then holding up a Believe sign. And then an 11-0 run ensues. So that was pretty special because Lasso gave us the motivation. And the Hawks go on to win it 69-65. But to see the way that the team responded to some adversity, to see the way K.J. Adams exercised some free throw demons and goes 6 of 9 from the stripe, just 12 hours preceding his mother's funeral down in Austin, had to feel like she was smiling down on her son in those late-game moments when he stepped up facing the biggest weakness in his game and delivered a major strength for Kansas with the game-clinching free throws. So that was pretty special to see. But I think Kevin McCullough made himself some money. We had 30 different NBA teams represented with scouts in the house, and McCullough erupts for 21 on 6 of 10 shooting and did a lot of things in other stat categories as well. So I think it was total team effort. A lot of guys can feel good about it, but that was definitely one of those wins that makes you think, okay, we took one on the chin versus Marquette, but we just beat the defending champs in our house and looked pretty good in the process. This is absolutely a team that could compete to hang a seventh banner.
Well, you know from our conversations a year ago, Kevin McCullough was my favorite player on the team last year because he does the little things. He's just simply a winner. I mean, he'll get on the floor. He'll play great defense. And now he's a better scorer. He's improved his outside shot. And you talked about how he came through. Three gigantic threes from three different spots on the floor. Top of the key, the near corner, the far corner one was a rainbow three. He had to throw up over a defender closing out on him. And I believe he, I don't know, it was him or Harris, made the pass out to Dickinson for a three-pointer. And those were huge shots, of course, in KU winning. So there's no doubt Kevin McCullough coming back this year was absolutely huge. We talked so much about Jason Bean coming back for KU and kind of saving the day. Where would this KU team be without Kevin McCullough right now?
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, they had Arterio Morris committed and felt like, okay, if we get him and we get a couple other portal targets like Dickinson and Timberlake, we're going to be pretty good. But Bill Self has said the biggest recruit we got in the offseason was the return of Kevin McCullough. And then when you lose Morris, it makes it all the more important. Not because Morris was going to be some 19-point-per-game type guy like McCullough has been, but because you know you needed that firepower on the perimeter. You needed that wing scorer. You needed that somewhat of a veteran presence that Morris could have been. Obviously, Kevin is that times 10 because he's a fifth-year player for you. But to see the instant injection of just maturity, confidence, and a guy that knows the Bill Self system, knows the Bill Self expectation, that made this team so much more instantly a national title, not just contender, but maybe favorite. Yeah. When you're elected to come back because you get that type of talent coupled with that type of maturity and experience. And it's just hard to get players that good, that experience, still in the college game nowadays. And so that's why Kansas, in the minds of almost everybody, vaulted immediately to that preseason number one status.
Brown Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Is fatigue a concern? I mean, the KU's only played 9 games, but is fatigue a concern when the bench is just simply not providing much of a spark? And, you know, Furphy hit a few key shots the other night, but Coach Self talked about it. There's a major drop-off when the bench goes out there.
Yeah, and that, again, is where when you lose Morris from what you thought this roster would be, suddenly you're leaning on one extra freshman a little bit more. And, you know, El Marco hasn't come quite along as quickly as some might have hoped. But keep in mind, he's only been playing organized ball for a little more than 4 years.
Yep.
Jamari McDowell has shown flashes, but again, was not recruited to be a Josh Jackson, Grady Dick immediate impact freshman. He's more of a long-term project. And then you have Furphy, who has the highest ceiling of the three, but he reclassified to come in early, so there's going to be growing pains there too. Obviously, without saying anything critical, you know, being constructive here, you know, the biggest disappointment amongst the bench players has been Timberlake. We thought they'd get a lot more out of him immediately because of how much older he is than the freshman and more experienced. But you and I have discussed on this show that everybody's transition from mid-major to you know, national title contending major conference team is a little bit different, and everybody's going to have more adjustments and peaks and valleys than the next guy or a different amount that is. You just don't know how quickly it's going to all click. And I see flashes of it in practice from Nick on an almost daily basis. We've not seen it translate to the games yet. I know Bill still has great belief that he's going to get it going, but his stumble out of the gate coupled with losing Morris means way more on these freshmen. I mean, obviously, Parker Brown's been very steady, but he's not the offensive player that you have in Dickinson, so you have to keep Hunter on the floor for a few more minutes than you typically like to. So that's just made our 5-3-9 a little more, let's say, to be determined. And the good news is, and it sounds so cliche, but it's so true, I mean, that the greatest stretch of development and growth for any team or any individual is what they're about to embark upon for the next 3.5 weeks. Once their last final exam is taken and they've got nothing but basketball to focus on, this is where teams really come together. This is where young guys really grow up. And Self said it as recently as 2 days ago that he expects that to be the case with this bench. So we'll see. But yeah, it's not where we thought it would be for the two main reasons of losing one player in the preseason and then the other, who honestly was as highly touted and coveted of a shooting guard in the portal. It's just taken a little bit longer with Nick. And we still have high hopes for him, but he just needs to see the ball go through the hole, and until he sees it more frequently going in, he needs to keep firing. As counterintuitive as that may be, when you're 1 of 5 and you've missed 4 straight, you got to take the next one because it's in there. He's done it over the course of his entire career. He's just struggling to make that leap with a lot more eyeballs and a lot more pressure and a lot bigger stage on him than he's ever experienced before.
So all kinds of amazing games already this year. The Kentucky win, Tennessee playing Marquette over in Honolulu. Of course, UConn, as just mentioned, and now Missouri comes down. And this is the biggest one of them all, of course, the Border Showdown. And this is a rivalry that's one of the best in all of college sports. And every once in a while, I think, gets overlooked by national people because they always got their heads stuck in the sand with various things, as we know. This one goes back to the Civil War, for crying out loud. Kansas and Missouri coming up on Saturday, 3:30 pregame, tip-off 4:15 from Allen Fieldhouse. This is going to be a lot of fun. The place is going to be jacked. The roof might blow off. Just share what I know. Students are already camping out already. The game is Saturday. I need to repeat, today's Thursday. Just talk about the craziness that it surrounds this game and the rivalry and what you expect to see on Saturday. Because Missouri, I don't know a lot about Missouri. I know they lost Wichita State recently.
Yeah, you know, I think for guys like you and me, this is really special, and it's huge, and it feels like one of the biggest games on the schedule. I hope our students feel the same way. They're obviously camping out, as you mentioned, but I think in their minds UConn was bigger because they didn't grow up around the Border Showdown series. They haven't heard Don Sambro say, it's not a rivalry, it's a war. Mm-hmm. You know, they've not seen the history. And now with social media, throughout the week, KU's done a great job of, like, sending them little doses of, you know, this is one of our iconic figures talking about the hatred and the bloodshed and the Civil War that predated anything athletic-related and all that, to give them some context. But I'm not sure they fully understand just the venom and the passion that used to go into this thing. And so better than last Friday night versus UConn. That remains to be seen. I think the one factor that makes it possibly fall ahead of UConn is the fact that Thomas Robinson is coming back to have his jersey go up in the rafters, and we will absolutely be reliving that big block of Cressy late in the game that in 2012 made sure that they weren't able to leave, saying they beat us in the fog on the last ever game as conference rivals here. The historic comeback that, you know, none of us that were there will ever forget. But I hope for our younger fans, our students, you know, that they're catching on, because call it like it is. And this is fun to say, but it also doesn't speak to, you know, feeling great about how great this rivalry is. In the two renewals since the decade gap in between, KU's taken them behind the woodshed and just beaten the snot out of them. So this is going to be a much better game, you would think, because they are a much improved team than what we've seen in the last couple of go-rounds. And as you mentioned, four straight wins, just knocked off Wichita State 82-72. They come in with a little bit of momentum. But I think it will be a very good atmosphere. We'll see if it's as good as UConn. Maybe after T-Rob's halftime speech, the crowd elevates to another level, and that will be fun to see.
Yeah, definitely. We will talk next week about KU's bowl game. They're going to be taking on UNLV in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl out in Phoenix on December 26th. And we'll also, when we have a little bit more time next week, we'll talk with you about going forward with a new offensive coordinator, a different person calling the plays, as obviously losing offensive coordinator to Penn State. We'll talk more about that next week. Time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. A radio or TV ad jingle or slogan that is or was stuck in your head. For me, the current one that's stuck in my head is the Burger King, You Rule. That's the one that's stuck in my head. But what about you? Is there a jingle, a slogan, something that's stuck in your head, maybe for years, or maybe it's just something that is constantly in your head from time, or not constantly, but in your head from time to time now?
Yeah. You'll probably turn this into a promo if I sing it to you.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I come from the old school radio sales department that would teach you that the audible catchiness of a jingle can permeate its way into your brain and just reside there, so that if you're a local business owner and you do it right and you get a catchy jingle, it will forever, you know, take home in the minds of your consumer. It will never escape. And so the jingle that did the best back in my college years, when I was living at Oliver Hall, stone throw away from Allen Fieldhouse, and it was 1 a.m. and you needed some late night pizza, was 842-1212, call us now at Pizza Shuttle. And they had this great jingle, and they actually did it for the multiple towns that they were in. They changed the number but had the same song, and it basically said, for fast and free delivery, pizza the way it's supposed to be, give us a call and you will agree, it's Pizza Shuttle, pizza for me. Call 842-1212, call us now at Pizza Shuttle. We'll take it to your door and we're topping it with more, call us now at Pizza Shuttle. I mean, I could go on for hours, and this was literally 30 years ago. So if it's done right, there's just something about that the jingle biz, and specifically in radio, audibly, you just ingest it, and it's with you forever. Now, have I called that number probably 100 times since? Yes.
Yes.
That's probably part of the reputation. But the song is stuck in my head.
Right.
And it's just an amazing phenomenon, and it's why, you know, anybody in print or TV or other mediums will say, oh, no, we're the way to go. I will forever be a fan of radio advertising for that reason, but you've got to get the jingle right.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And also, while you're sharing this story, I think myself and many people listening right now out in our area on the radio are thinking, Brian ordered a lot of pizza. I think that's...
Well, amazingly, I stayed thin. I don't know how I did it. I was walking the hills on campus, but I probably made you hungry for pizza, too, if only they delivered to Glen Elder and Beloit.
You have.
But 842-1212, the number still exists. The next time you're in Lawrence for a game, here's a free plug Ola for them. I'm supposed to be talking about the Anderson Insurance Agency. Instead, we just sold some pizzas.
There you go. There you go. Yep. Well, and I'm hungry. I haven't had breakfast yet, so that would be nice as well. And I ate a lot of pizza, especially my first semester in college, and I put on a few pounds, the old freshman 10 or whatever you want to call it. Some people it's 20, 30, 40, or 50 as well. There's one other one I remember from back in the day, and that's the chia. The Chia Pets, for some reason, always been stuck in my head. One of the ugliest inventions of all time, but still, that's still stuck in my head. Hey, man, we appreciate the time as always. And now I'm going to go grab some pizza at our local pizza joint. And I'll talk to you again next Thursday, my friend.
Sounds good. Sounds good, buddy. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday by Anderson Insurance Agency. They can help you out with your insurance needs, and they do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.